Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
We're talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and praying in tongues. Well, that's a big subject. A lot of books have been written about this. And yesterday and today, as I was going back over this, I thought, well, I'll just pick up where I left off last week. Well, I don't think the Holy Spirit had me do that. So it's like, okay, then we're going to do a little review, because that's how we learn. But I said, you know, I'll be teaching tonight about praying in tongues. I hope we get there. But if we don't get there, we'll just, however long God wants to take for this is fine. And so let's just jump right into this particular interesting subject, mysterious subject. We asked the question last week, what is being filled with the Holy Spirit? And then we went to Scripture, Ephesians chapter 5, which you're familiar with. 5:18, don't be drunk with wine, for that's reckless living, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves or to one another, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We're learning as Christians how to live out of our spirit on the inside and out of our born-again spirit. Our born-again spirit can commune with God 24/7. No cut, no break. The spirit within us, the born-again spirit, can commune with God at all times. So we understand we are spirit beings, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And so we're learning. I mean, we haven't arrived, but we're learning how to live out of the spirit rather than out of our flesh, what we've been used to, our five physical senses most of our life. And note in this particular scripture, we are the ones who make melody in our hearts to the Lord, not to ourselves or others, but we minister to others, and we minister to others with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But then we sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. Now, there's two things I want to point out here. A church's ministry, number one, primarily to the people, is number one, encouragement. Everybody needs encouragement. Everybody needs encouragement. And so we're to encourage one another with psalms. The psalms are written to show all the various moods of attitudes of life we go through. So we encourage one another by speaking to one another, psalms and hymns. Hymns are, they're different from spiritual songs. They're songs that have been written and sung over and over and over again. They usually have our theology in it. Hymns are our roots and our heritage. How Great Thou Art is a hymn. Amazing Grace is a hymn. And so we encourage one another with these things, and spiritual songs. Spiritual songs are spontaneous songs, or songs the Spirit just gives you and you create. And so you're just to be a music machine. Everybody can sing. Everybody doesn't confess that. I hear people say all the time, I can't sing. You don't want to hear me sing. Well, it may be true. I may not want to hear you sing. But the point is, everybody can sing. You're created to sing. You're created to make music to the Lord, but you're to encourage one another in this way as well. And so we're to encourage one another, but we also minister to the Lord. Our primary ministry as Christians is to minister to the Lord. He doesn't need anything, but we get the opportunity to minister to the Lord. How? By singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. And you can do that 24/7. You know, this means we got to stay fresh with God. We got to stay alive to God. We got to be aware of God all throughout the day. Not just now when it's easy, when you come to church on a Wednesday night and you're very much aware of God, but when you go home, when you go to school tomorrow, when you go to work. We're to keep an awareness of God. How do you do that? How do you stay conscious of God? And the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. In everything, give thanks to Him. Remember last week I shared with you, there's no temple in heaven. There's no designated building in heaven where we go to worship. In heaven, everyone is filled with the Holy Spirit in the fullness of God. And there's worship just going on about everything, whatever they're doing up there. And yet here on earth, we are told by the Holy Spirit in this scripture, we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. This is a command. We are not to ask to be filled with the Spirit. When God commands you to do something, He didn't say, now pray and ask me to fill you with the Spirit. He commands believers to be filled with the Spirit. We don't ask to be filled with the Spirit. We obey and we're filled with the Spirit. Now, remember, I've shown you, you know, the three circles, so to speak, your body, and then your soul, and then your born-again spirit. This is who you are, your born-again spirit. Your spirit, born again with God's spirit, merged together as one spirit. God's spirit and your spirit, born again. Never existed before until you were born again. Now you have the same soul and you have the same body. In your spirit, there are gates that lead outward. And you can pray in the Spirit. You can sing in the Spirit. You can speak in the Spirit. You can preach by the Spirit. You can work by the Spirit. All things can be done by the Spirit. We're commanded to learn how to live out of the Spirit. So out of your spirit, the Spirit flows over into your soul area. Now, the good thing, and I don't need to go back too much detail, but I told you before, these gates that are in your spirit, they only go outward. Nothing can come in your spirit to contaminate your spirit. The Bible says it's sealed, Ephesians 2. It's protected. So only what's in your spirit can come out. Now, there are gates in your soul, which is, you know, your mind, will, and emotions. And these gates in your soul, things can go in and things can come out. You know, you could hear a song and it inspire you and bring you to tears. Well, it came in from the outside and came into your soul and affected your soul. But it can't go into your spirit. Or something, you see something you shouldn't see. It's perverse or evil. It can come into your soul and affect your soul. It can depress your soul. It can anger your soul. It can make your soul think things and do things you shouldn't do. But it can't go into the spirit. Praise God for that. And then we have these gates out here in our bodies, of course, the five physical senses. And things are constantly going in and out that gate based on what you watch on TV, what you listen to, what you set your mind on, and if you listen to gossip, it goes in. And it can affect your soul, you see. I mean, just on and on. So you kind of understand, you get an understanding here of what I'm talking about here. So the question should be, well, preacher, when we're commanded by God to be filled with the Spirit, what gets filled in us? The body, the soul, or the Spirit? What gets filled? What gets filled is, first of all, your born-again spirit is already filled with the Spirit. It's wall-to-wall Jesus. The Bible says everything you need for life and godliness has already been given to you. Everything you need for life and godlikeness has already been given. It's given. Where is it at? It's in your spirit. It's in seed form. It's in your spirit. And now it's going to grow out of that. But what I want to say is that, all right, what gets filled when God commands us to be filled with the Spirit? Not your spirit, because your spirit's already filled. What gets filled is your spirit. These gates are open, and out of Jesus said, your belly will flow rivers of living water. So out of the spirit, it flows over into your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. And so what gets filled with the spirit is your soul gets filled with the spirit of God. And you know when you're filled with the spirit, you act differently, don't you? So when your spirit, your spirit overflows because you are doing something to create this. You are opening the gateways in your soul to receive everything that's coming out of the spirit. And you're actually the one doing this. You're creating worship to God. You are encouraging people, one another, with psalms, hymns, and encouraging yourself with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So you open these gates of your soul up on the inside for your spirit that's already pouring out. It overflows in you. So from our born-again spirit flows through the gates of our soul, mind, will, emotions. And then also, it's too complicated to go into right now, but in between your soul and your spirit is what we would call the heart. The heart is a combination of your spirit and your soul. It's the seat of your passions. It's the place where you believe. It's the place you make the decisions to believe in God. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you'll be saved. Didn't say believe with your spirit. Didn't say believe with your soul. Say believe with your heart. Where's your heart? It's the combination of your spirit and your soul. You believe there and you're saved. So this all overflows into your heart. That's why the Bible says guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it are all the issues of life. Now, so how do we, God said, be filled with the Spirit. It's a command. It's an imperative. How do we do that? Lots of ways, but primarily with our tongue, your tongue. Your tongue is a rudder. James calls your tongue is like a rudder on a big ship. That little tiny rudder at the back of the ship can turn an ocean liner. Make it go this way. Make it go. Your tongue is like a rudder. Your tongue will set the course. Which way are you going? Which way? How are you going? Where are you going to go? What you going? Your tongue sets the course. And so we use our tongue intentionally to guide us to speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and to make melody in our heart to the Lord. We intentionally are doing that. It doesn't just happen. That's why you don't pray for it. That's why you don't say, oh God, please fill me with the Holy Spirit. He said, be filled. You do it. Use your rudder. Get there. It's available. I've already given you everything you need for life in God. And now get your rudder going and get you in that direction and be filled. He never said pray to be filled with the Spirit. He said be filled. Now, so this is happening more than you realize. So, you know, we come to church. We want to encourage one another. It's just in us. That's the Spirit of the Lord in us. And we want to make melody in our heart to the Lord. And then we like it when someone says, hey, let's sing a song together. We join in because that's what our spirit really wants. It wants to worship God. And it wants to affect our heart. And so you can do this as much as you want to do. You can be filled with the Spirit as much as you want to be filled with the Spirit. You want to be filled with the Spirit 7 days a week, 24 hours a day? Do you? Well, you can. There's no limit. You can be filled with the Spirit as much as you want. It's up to you. In fact, you already filled with the Spirit as much as you want to be. Yes, you are. Have you ever woke up in the middle of the night with a worship song in your mind? Or woke up in the morning with a worship song in your mind? And you thought, where'd that come? Maybe you heard it in church the night before. Maybe you heard it from Sunday. Maybe you heard on the radio, but maybe you didn't. You just woke up with a song. Has anybody ever woke up with a worship song going on in your head? Where'd that come from? Something was going on in your soul while you were in a sleep mode. In heaven, there's 24/7 worship. In your spirit, there's 24/7 worship. And it would be wonderful if you could get out of your spirit and into your soul. If that soul would just say, yeah, come on in, let's just worship. And sometimes that happens when you're asleep, because when you're asleep, you're not thinking as much. God deals with a lot of us in our sleep more than he does in awake, because when we're awake, we get in his way too much. So, here we are, and we wake up in the morning, and we got this song in our head. And we're saying, well, that's coming from the Spirit of God inside you. You know, you can worship without people knowing you are worshiping God. You can't. At work, now, you know, it may not be appropriate for you to sing out loud. But you can sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord all day long. And no one may not even know it. You can do that. Does anybody do that? You worship God throughout the day. You just praise him. You bless him. Have a conversation with him. Remember the seven dwarves? Whistle while you work. How about this? Worship while you work. Worship while you work. Why can't you do that? You can. You can worship while you work. Worship while you work. It won't take long to get along if you worship while you work. There are people you don't like. Come on, sing it with me. You echo me. All right, here, let's start over. Worship while you work. It won't take long to get along if you worship while you work. Don't say that part. There are people you don't like, and they don't like you too. But it won't take long to get along if you worship while you work. Are you getting it? You can worship while you work, and nobody can stop you. You can have this little goofy grin going on your face all day long. You're just worshiping God. And they think you're high on marijuana or something, you know. I'm just worshiping God. Now I have another part of that song. God's got a sense of humor. Here goes. Some days your life's a drag. When your boss is just a nag. But it won't take long to get along if you worship while you work. Disclaimer, I wasn't thinking of anybody when I said that. It might be safer not to sing those lyrics at work, just whistle. Well, here's the question. Now, seriously, why be filled? Why be filled with the Spirit? And we go back to a scripture last week I shared with you, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 says this, that Christ may dwell, and that word means to be at home at, in your heart. He's living here, but he really wants to live there, where your decisions are made, where your belief system is working, the seat of your passions. That Christ may, speaking to believers, that Christ may dwell or be at home in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the breadth, length, depth, height, to know personally by experience and intimate knowledge the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, academic learning, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow. Let me ask you a question. What will it look like when you and I are filled with all the fullness of God? What's that going to look like? Is it going to be bad? No. I'll tell you what it's going to look like, and you've already experienced this. When you're filled with the Spirit, you've experienced this. instead of getting irritated by something or someone that normally has gotten you irritated in the past, you instantly are gentle and patient. You're just the opposite of what you normally have done in the flesh. You're filled with the Spirit. Instead of what has been habitually a fleshly reaction, when something happens to you, you respond in just the opposite of that thing. How did that happen? You would scratch your head and wonder, wow, how come I didn't fly off the handle? How come I didn't break any furniture? How come I didn't kill anybody? What? You were filled with the Spirit because that was the opposite of what your flesh would have done. Instead of anger, you responded with gentleness. Wow, where'd that come from? Someone finally opened up the gates and was filled with the Spirit. Instead of anxiety and worry and panic, you respond with peace. Whoa, the peace that passes all understanding. Instead of being in a hurry, got to hurry up and get it done, you're patient. You slow down. You, hey, relax. Instead of being rude back to someone who was rude to you, you respond with kindness. It happens so automatic when you're filled with the Spirit, it happens before you think about it. In fact, when you're so filled with the Spirit, someone can be rude to you and you don't even notice it. Until later, you're driving down the road and you think, I think they just were really nasty to me. Are you understanding? Well, I'm trying to show you, this is within reach, so why be filled with Spirit? Because it's going to be the best life you've ever had. The fullness of God flowing from your inner man, overflowing from your spirit over into your soul, and overflowing the banks into your soul, into your heart, and then overflowing from your heart even into your body. You're more relaxed. You have a smile. You lose some of them worry lines. And being filled with the Spirit, what I'm trying to say to you is this, being filled with the Spirit's up to you. Who wants to be filled with Spirit? Who wants to pray and ask God to fill them with the Spirit? Don't you dare raise your hand. I done spent 10 minutes telling you, you don't pray to be filled with Spirit. You obey. It can happen. And being filled with the Spirit is not a one-time experience. It happens over and over and over and over and over as much as you need. There's no lack of supply. We ought to just take a moment and praise God for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, there are just things here we just don't understand still. You're awesome. All right, let's step on into the next part of this mysterious subject. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What's the difference between the baptism of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Spirit? They're not the same. Being filled with the Spirit happens in you. Happens in you. And you control that. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit happens upon you. And you don't control that. Let me illustrate. If we drink water right now, water goes in from the glass and would be inside us. However, if we went to the beach and we jumped into the ocean, the water wouldn't be in us, it'd be upon us. Two different things. We receive, as it were, a drink of the Holy Spirit when we're saved. Holy Spirit comes in. But baptism of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Different thing. You get the Holy Spirit the moment you're saved. You receive Jesus. You receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. You receive the Holy Spirit that moment. But it doesn't mean you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, for some people, it can happen at the same time. And I've heard of things like that, and I have no reason to doubt. Someone gets saved the Spirit, and they got filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit at the same time. Well, that's wonderful. But for most people, it doesn't seem to happen that way. That's just my experience. Let me give you an example. In Acts chapter 8, if you want to look in your Bible, turn there, that's fine, but I'm just going to show you a few scriptures. In Acts chapter 8, a man by the name of Philip went down to Samaria in Jerusalem. You got to remember, this is after Pentecost. In Acts chapter 8, Philip, who was one of the disciples, he was there at Pentecost. His name is on the list. If you look in Acts chapter 1, there's a list of the disciples who were there, and he was there on the day of Pentecost. So he experienced Pentecost. And so now Philip has gone down to Samaria, a place that Jews would normally not go because they didn't like the Samaritans. And they considered them half-breeds. And so he went down to Samaria and he preached Christ to them. He preached the kingdom of God. And many got saved. And they were water baptized. And they got salvation and water baptism. And they experienced that. But Philip was the only one there that had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They hadn't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They got saved. But he's the only one that had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I have to ask you some questions because I want to mess with you a little bit. Can you go to heaven without the baptism of the Holy Spirit? There'll be some churches that say you can't, but yes, you can. If you're saved, that's saved people go to heaven. Salvation saves you from sin. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit empowers you to be a powerful witness of God. Now, all right, now here we are. Hang with me. Interesting subject, and I can see we ain't going to get anywhere I thought we were going to go tonight, but here we are. Philip was there down in Samaria. He was preaching to the Samaritans. And he, through him, he was seeing the power of God come through him unlike anything he'd ever seen before. And them too. Notice in Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 7, this scripture. And when the crowds heard Philip, heard him preaching Christ, heard him preaching the kingdom, and they saw what? Which he did. For unclean spirits or demons were crying out with a loud voice and coming out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. I want to tell you that's pretty good church service when that happens. I'm wanting that. I want that. So he had it all going on. They're getting saved. They're casting out demons. People are getting healed. And there were miracles. Now, the church back in Jerusalem, the main church, you know, where Pentecost happened, all the disciples, Peter and John and James, all the other disciples are there. They heard about this. They said, man, Philip's gone down to Samaria, and man, something has cut loose down there. They're having a revival. And so the church there sent Peter and John to go down to Samaria to check out what's going on. See what's going on. Now, let me ask you a question because I want you to think. The Samaritans believed in Jesus, did they not? They were converted. They were baptized. Did they have the Holy Spirit inside them? If they were saved, yeah. Yeah. Was there more of God for them to experience than what they had experienced? Come on, admit it. Yeah, there was. So why is this in the Bible? To make you think deeper. And to help you understand this, I need to take you a little rabbit trail just to mess with you a little bit. Okay? I want you to see the first sentence in the Bible. The first sentence in the Bible, the first words of Scripture are in Hebrew. Now, Jeff, you help me if I don't pronounce this right. Jeff and Fran Israel are our resident Jews. Praise God for you. You can help me with this. I may not be saying it right, but help me. Bereshit, Bera Elohim. Is that pretty good? I'm a rabbi. A rabbi means teacher, that's right. All right, so that, I thought that was what it was. So, that is saying, in the beginning, God created. Notice the name for God, Elohim. Can you put those scriptures up there for me? I need those slides there. Okay, that's what we're looking at. The very first sentence in your Bible is this. And the word for God is the word, there you go, next one, Elohim. It's a Hebrew word for God. El is the Hebrew word for God. El Shaddai. El is a Hebrew word for God. And here it's Elohim, and the word im there makes it a plural word. So, this is important, and not, don't just hang in there with me. It's important because in the grammar of this first sentence in the Bible, in the beginning, Elohim created, there is a plural noun and a singular verb, which is very poor grammar for us. But let me show you what God in His great wisdom is doing. It would be like me saying this sentence. We, plural, is, singular, going to church tonight. We is going to church tonight. I mean, that may sound normal to you, but that's not really proper English. I talk that way too sometimes. We is going to church tonight. We is going to have some fun tonight. But that's not proper English. The first sentence in the Bible, of Scripture, the first sentence in Scripture breaks all the grammatical rules. Hang with me. It's revealing that there's something much deeper here. A mystery. Something so profound, there are no words to describe it. It is revealing the reality of God is so awesome and so beyond anything we know that there are no words in any language that can express the greatness and the reality of God. Even the word God is not enough to describe God. Now, next slide. The name Elohim is letting us know that whatever we think about God, He's more than that. He's greater than that. Whatever you know about the goodness of God, He's greater than that. Whatever you know about the kindness of God is greater than that. Whatever you know about the love of God is better than that. Are you understanding? There is no end. There is no word. There is no word. See, I used it right there. There is no words. God is so awesome. There are no words that can adequately describe Him. Now, I took you on that rabbit trail for a reason. I want to just stay there just for a moment. And then we'll wind it down for tonight. I love this quote from Donald Rumsfeld, who was a former Secretary of Defense, I think it was. I love this quote of him. It just is astounding to me. He said these words. He said, there are known knowns. In other words, things that we know that we know. Then there are unknown knowns. Things we know that we don't know. We know that we don't know them. But then there are unknown unknowns. Things we don't know that we don't know. Yeah. Well, now, that just takes some pondering right there. Doesn't it? I mean, Lord, what is you trying to say to us? Because we don't quite get it. I'll give you a little snapshot. Daniel in the Old Testament had prayed and for 21 days was wondering why he didn't get the answer to his prayer. Why he didn't hear anything else from God. Didn't understand what's going on. One day he had a visitation from an angel who revealed to him what was going on behind the scenes. In Daniel's unknown unknowns, he revealed to him there was a spiritual war, Daniel. You didn't know anything about. You didn't see it. You didn't hear about it. There's a war going on in the heavenlies over your prayer getting answered. That's why there was a little delay, or seemed like a delay. Ladies and gentlemen, there is so much going on in the spirit world. We may never know all of it. It might be good that we don't know most of it. The enemy is working very hard to get you to doubt God, to discourage you with church, discourage you with the Word of God, discourage you to quit believing God, to give up prayer. It ain't working. Things aren't getting any. The devil is working to try to talk you out of faith. I don't know that you need to read this book, the whole in totality, but I just share it because it's an old classic back in the 80s. I think it was written, a man by the name of Frank Peretti wrote a book called This Present Darkness, and it's a fiction book. But what it tells you is that there's things going on in the unknown unknown, in the spiritual realm. When we pray, there's stuff going on in the spiritual world that we just don't see. We may never see. And when we don't pray, there's stuff going on. And this book is just a fiction book, but it's a good book to open your eyes to realize, wow, what's maybe going on in my world when I don't see necessarily what I hope to see? The point is, there's always more of God to experience than what we've already experienced. I'm not talking about extra-biblical parapsychology, occult stuff. I'm saying, don't mess with all that. That's a bunch of garbage. That's just the devil trying to say, come over here, get away from God. No, you don't have to look for extra stuff out there. You need to go deeper in the Spirit and in the Word. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Well, I try to be time sensitive till on Wednesday night. We do teaching and you're tired from work and everything else too. I understand that. And you come out. But I want to take you further and stay with this subject for however long Lord wants. But I want to take you further into this next week. I said I'd be preaching or teaching on praying in tongues, and I'm trying my best to get there. So, but we're laying some foundation here that is very, 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 very vital, good biblical foundation. So, Lord willing, next week we'll take up in the book of Acts, chapter 8, where Peter and John laid their hands on these disciples, and they received a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about that more next week because I think this is a good point to stop. And I want to have a time of prayer for you, but not tonight. We're going to keep laying the foundation, and we'll get to a point where we're going to lay hands on people that want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're going to lay hands on and just believe God is going to work His mighty miracles through us. But for now, let's just be in awe of God. In the beginning, Elohim. Whew. Wow. Would you stand together with me? And would you just lift your hands in awe of the Lord and just begin to verbally praise Him for the greatness of the Lord, the greatness that you have never seen, the greatness that surpasses your knowledge of Him, the greatness of God, that He will lead you to discover some of it, but you'll never discover all of it because God is too great for that. Just thank God right now. Lift your hands and praise Him verbally. Just honor Him. And just repeat even the words of the great hymn with me. When I think of God, His Son not sparing, but sent Him to die and take away my sin. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died. Take away my sin. Then sings my soul, God. My Savior, my God, to Thee. How great Thou art. How great Thou art. There are no words to describe Your greatness. But we can sing about it. And we can make melody in our heart to You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Father, I ask the Holy Spirit would put a song in our hearts tonight while we're asleep. And cause us at some point, either in the morning, maybe in the middle of the night, or the next day, to spontaneously start singing this song that we hear coming out of our spirit that's just ringing in our soul. Help us to sing it to You. Make melody in our hearts to the Lord. And may we not whistle while we work. May we worship while we work. In the name of Jesus. And let the church say, amen. I agree. God bless you. Good night. Come back Sunday.